everyone. Welcome back to Choreograph Your Life, the Season 3 2020 Zoom interview experience. On behalf of the team, thank you so much for spending time with us today. We hope you are staying safe and staying healthy. This episode of Choreograph Your Life is brought to you by Audible, the leading provider in spoken word entertainment and audiobooks. You guys, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Audible has been a lifesaver, game changer for me. I love it. I'm obsessed with it. I pop it in my headphones all the time. And as I'm running errands or working out or whatever the case may be, it helps pass the time so efficiently while still consuming all of the fiction and nonfiction content that I can get my hands on. There are thousands and thousands of titles to choose from. I highly recommend it. Check it out today while supporting your favorite podcast, Choreograph Your Life, by using our link, www.audibletrial.com/choreographyourlife. Again, that is www.audibletrial.com/choreographyourlife. It is for free. If you are not totally obsessed with it, you can cancel it anytime, but I really, truly think you guys are going to love it. I wouldn't endorse it if I didn't love it myself, so check it out. All right, you all. Though I claim to be a highly motivated, energetic human being, I feel like this girl that you are about to meet makes me look like I am in the throes of some kind of a nap. Having met this ray of sunshine in 2004, Adriana exploded into my life in Astoria, Queens, many, many, many moons ago, and was my first roommate in New York. I knew instantly this was someone I was not only going to become totally obsessed with, in a healthy way, of course, but also someone I would strive to want to emulate when it came to both her work ethic and her overall sunshining vibe. I cannot wait to introduce you to Adriana Falcon. Please join me in giving her a warm welcome. You do not want to miss this beautiful human being. She has 15 years of teaching experience in the dance and fitness industry, training clients from New York all the way to Hong Kong. She credits her experience performing as an NBA dancer for the Washington Wizards, along with her experience as a featured athlete in Shanti's fitness series, Insanity and Insanity Max, with giving her the tools to motivate, educate, and inspire her clients to lead a healthy lifestyle. Adriana tapped into her knowledge as a fitness professional to find her strength and endurance back after having her two beautiful children who, you guys, you have to follow her on social media because she is just hilarious and they are the cutest little kids you'd ever see. You gotta check it out. That being said, she, as a new mom, was craving for more. She was craving balance. She was craving community. She was craving a class, a fitness class that she couldn't live without. Thus, Crave Fitness was born. Adriana, the owner of Crave Fitness, meets each client where they are. Together, they create a roadmap to a healthier and happier lifestyle. One class will leave you craving more. You guys, check her out. You will not be disappointed. We will give you all of the avenues to find her on social media and online today. In the meantime, prepare yourself for maximum motivation. My friend and soon to be yours, Adriana Falcon. Woo! Everybody, as promised, here with me today, I have Miss Adriana Falcon, owner and founder of Crave Fitness, and one of my very favorite people who I miss so much.
I know.
Welcome to Choreograph Your Life.
Hello. I am so excited to be here, Kelly D.
Woo! So, a little bit of backstory. Adriana and I know each other because we lived together shortly in New York City. And by New York City, I mean we lived in Astoria.
Close enough.
So we were, I loved our apartment until somebody broke in that one day when I was home, but that's neither here nor there. And it's a story for another time. But so we were both accepted to the Broadway Dance Center Professional Program. And that's how we found each other, right?
Through yes.
That, like, website?
Yes. Thing?
Okay.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was having a brain fart earlier today when I was thinking about it. But how did we get the third roommate involved? How did that happen?
Ooh, I don't know if we want to go there. Actually, I have no idea. So what happened was I was planning on moving to New York. Yes. My roommate in college knew someone who had an apartment in Queens. I got that apartment.
That's right.
That roommate left. And then you and I got accepted to that program, the professional program at Broadway Dance Center. And I feel like you may have known, shall we say, June?
Yeah, I think I may have known. No, you know what?
Or
I knew
somebody?
Her through a friend.
Okay.
It was a friend, like a friend of a friend. Yeah.
Okay. So regardless, we didn't know each other. And then we all kind of found one another in this three-bedroom railroad style apartment in Queens. So you were like pretty much day one of my New York life, where I was there
yes.
for almost 10 years after that. Can you believe it?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm so sorry that I was day one for you.
Oh, what it was amazing. It only went downhill from there. No, I'm joking.
Oh my gosh. We had some, I feel like we had some relatively wild times in
yes.
that. Was, on that street. What were we on? 36th, 38th? I can't even remember.
Yeah,
what happened in my brain?
It was something like that. Everything was new. It was 36th Avenue, I believe, in Astoria.
Yeah, that sounds right. In Astoria.
I stayed in Astoria throughout, actually, my time in New York.
I was such a quick commute. For some reason, I thought you had moved to Brooklyn at one point.
No.
Did I make that
Brooklyn
up?
Wasn't. No, wasn't on my radar at that moment.
I
was
some reason,
I Q train girl. I was on the N and the Q, the W as well, the yellow.
You're like, that is it. That is it. That's all I'm messing with. Here we go. So thank you again so much for coming on here today. I think everybody is going to, number one, love you and your energy first and foremost. But number two is going to be so excited to hear everything that you have going on in your life. So
there's
let's get into it. Tell us everything. So tell us the overview of Adriana Falcon.
Sure. My name is Adriana, as you have heard. I am the owner of Crave Fitness, and we teach bar, high-intensity interval training, and dance cardio classes. We have some different formats that we're rolling out in the fall as well. Let's see. I have 15 years of teaching experience in the dance and fitness industry. Started as a dancer, just like Kelly in New York, just kind of struggling through, trying to find my way, find my voice, and it landed me lots of different opportunities and made me realize how important it was to be flexible in sure. how you saw yourself and what you put out there in the world. And I attribute my success moving forward through life, really, for those formative years after college in New York, because I feel like I say this all the time, but I will hire a dancer all day, every day, because their work ethic, their openness to constructive criticism, and, mm-hmm. and their ability to perform, regardless of what industry it is really bar none. Like, you really are honed with those skills as a dancer or performer, and that, you know, that could be musical theater or what have you. And
sure.
I really took all of those skills and kind of implemented that in my life now as a fitness instructor, but in all sorts of areas of my life. So I've trained performers and dancers and clients from New York all the way to Hong Kong, where I was performing as a dancer over there. I've danced for the NBA, for the Washington Wizards, and I guess most notably in the fitness space, I've worked with Sean T, who is the creator of Insanity, and I did the original Insanity videos with him and Insanity Max 30, as well as commercials for Hip Hop Abs, etc.
She's ripped, everybody. She's ripped.
Nah, quarantine has not made me so ripped, girl, but I'm trying to keep it moving. So I think Crave sort of developed over the years in a way, and it's still evolving, but I moved to New Hampshire with my family. I'm a mother of two and a wife, and we moved to New Hampshire. So not anywhere near a huge city necessarily. Boston is about an hour away. Concord is about 10-15 minutes. And I just wanted to bring the energy and the vibe and the professionalism that I really love and thrive off of that I acquired in New York and Hong Kong here, and then put my own twist to it. So
I love that. Yeah. And if your energy is the most contagious energy of all time. Like, if you people think that I am high energy,
I had some coffee, girl.
This girl makes me look like I'm in a full blown nap state at all times. At all times. So wait, let's go back in time a little bit. You went to UMass, am I correct?
Yes, I went to UMass Amherst. I actually got a degree in English secondary education, but I was on the dance team there.
Right. I remember that because I remember you guys did I don't know if it was jazz or team performance at Nationals, but you had to do the on mic vocal, like layover on the track of just you breathing.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh my God. That's so funny. I totally forgot about that. And I totally forgot. Did we compete against each other in NDA?
No, no, because we might've been there at the same time, but we probably were in different categories.
Right.
I think we were division two, and I think you guys were probably like division one.
1A at that or something?
Time. Yeah. Something like that. So anyway, but I remember us comparing notes on the experience, and I'll never forget that story because I remember, and you all probably can tell it this way, one of the first things I realized about Adriana, I'm like, she has the coolest voice in the world. Like, you should be doing voiceover work like nobody's business. But anyway, you were like, I remember being like, you have such an awesome voice. And you're like, yeah, listen to what my college made me do.
Yeah. And that's not the last of the random voiceovers that I had to
endure.
It's all fine.
I love it. That's a compliment though. That like above and beyond just your energy and your expertise and everything like that. It's something that definitely makes you stand out though. Like,
oh, for I would, sure.
I totally embrace that.
I totally embraced it, except when I go to Starbucks in the wintertime and they offer me like honey. No joke, every season, they're like, do you want some honey for your tea? And I'm like, no, I'm not sick. Like, happens every season. I just prep for it. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. I'll just take the honey. It's fine.
I'll just take it. Yeah. It's like not even worth fighting about at that point.
No, I'm like, no, I actually was born this way. I'm totally cool.
I love it. So you went to UMass, you decided after being on the dance team there that you wanted to move to New York. So
it was a silly choice. But I wasn't done with dance yet. So I actually had a job lined up as a school teacher, from the internship that I had just completed. And I was like, oh, I just want to dance a little bit more. And I was like, let's just go for it. And my boyfriend now husband, but boyfriend at the time was like, you should do it. And I was like, oh, all right, I'm doing it. So I did it and got my ish handed to me for quite some time. So I think if your listeners are of the perform, well, kind of all over, I guess, but
but definitely there are some performer types out there.
So if you are not familiar with Broadway Dance Center or the training in New York, it is pretty hardcore, legit, as a dancer and a performer. And I appreciated really being the worst in the room. And I studied with some really tough teachers that made sure I knew I was the worst in the room. And I will tell you.
Oh my gosh.
But I honestly, and I don't necessarily see this as often now, but this is what I came for. I really came to like break bad habits and figure it out and see if I could, you know, cut my teeth in an industry that was really above me. But I was so thirsty and hungry to learn from those that came before me. And I really paid my dues. And I think that it was, and I was willing to do so. So I was just, I tried to be as much a sponge. And, you know, New York will chew you up and spit you out. But I heard, no doubt. Right? I heard one time it was like a bad boyfriend, right? That they just, it, the New York itself, if you're going to personify it, it's like somebody that just treats you badly some days. But then those days that are good are like really, really good and unmatched. So you just keep coming back for more. So that lasted.
That's such an incredible analogy.
Right?
That's so spot on the money.
It's so
yes.
true. It's like, but I love, and even you miss it, right? And you're just like so hungry for it, but you're like, this is sometimes bad for me. But as far as my training, like I really, and I did, I came from a competition studio and then I went to mm-hmm. college, Just Dance team. And so I didn't have the fundamentals that some other people had. And it was really important that those teachers took the time, or it was helpful that they took the time to kind of point out the holes in my training and then try to fill them up just as much as they critiqued. They really tried to fill them up and make me a better dancer and a better person. And I appreciate all of my mentors there.
Who would you say were some of the people that you spent a lot of time taking class with?
I mean, Ginger Cox is my go-to mentor.
She's incredible.
She is the real deal. She was the one initially, I think, that made me go across the floor doing an exercise in front of the class because I was doing it wrong. Just wanted to make sure that everybody knew. But it was like, I would show up to her class every day thinking that she was going to kick me out of class. Like I was in the back corner and just trying to like survive. Right. And then eventually mm-hmm. I moved up to the front of the room or was invited to that front of the room space. And, mm-hmm. and then I became part of her company. And then I became a person that would assist her on other gigs and then sub for her at Broadway Dance Center. And I had the opportunity to teach at Broadway Dance Center a few times and in their summer intensive. So, you know, if they're paying attention to you, it's because they see something in you and maybe it's a diamond in the rough. And I just had to keep reminding myself that like, you know, they're not going to waste your time on somebody that can't live up to the expectation. You just have to get
there. That you could like put that on a billboard and have every single performer or dancer look at that. Because I feel like when we were in New York when I say things like that, this, I just feel like such an old.
Cause we're 90. Like, I know.
Yeah. But like, that was back in the day. Like I can't even imagine now if I were teaching a class and somebody was doing something wrong across the floor for me to call them out and be like, do it again. And make everybody watch, like that just doesn't happen anymore.
It does not, and it should.
It absolutely should. But like, you know, I think that I don't want to say people have gotten soft. It's not really that. It's just like the mentality is different. But like the work ethic was so high because we wanted to please and we wanted to get better so that those moments didn't happen. And it was a little bit of like living in fear a little bit, but also it's like you just paid attention and made sure that that wasn't happening to you. Cause I'm sure once it happened to you, it happened to me. I know it happened to me. So once it happened to you, I worked harder to make sure like that didn't happen again.
Exactly. And
now somebody would cancel us forever.
Oh my God. I think that's kind of the, a position that we have as instructors, if you are an instructor and you can discuss that with your parents, because I see it from both sides now, like as a parent, of course, I want to protect my kid, but I also want them to be resilient. I want them to be able to have constructive criticism and not fall apart. I want them to take what somebody says to them. And this goes beyond dance, right? It's like, take the criticism, apply it, and make yourself better. And maybe, maybe that instructor was wrong. Maybe that person was not for you. But you can also take that as instructive information and then move on.
100%. Yeah. Right?
It's like if we baby this generation or these kids, if you have kids or just your students, they're not going to be able to take the information and do something with it. Instead, they're just going to get stuck in the fear. And of course, it's somewhat fearful. It's somewhat embarrassing, but every job interview that you walk in the door for is going to be a little fearful. You don't know what you're walking into necessarily. You don't know if you are the right person. If you're going to audition, like, how can you go to audition after audition after audition and have a thick skin if you're going to take every single thing personally? And I'm not going to say that I did not. Of course I did. And you were probably
all did. Yeah.
But there has to be a moment where you look at those experiences when you're in them and say, okay, I'm going to push through and I'm going to, you know, get over this fear immediately. And then I'm going to take something from it, because every single opportunity is going to get you to the next step, regardless if that's a failure or if that is an embarrassing moment or, you know what I mean? And I've had plenty, you know, and, but those things, what are they going to teach you? And then dock it and move the F on people. Preach.
Totally. No, preach. 100%. So you were at Broadway Dance Center. You obviously, you know, you did the professional program. What do you think was, did you go to New York, other than obviously being a part of that program, did you go to New York with like an end goal? Like, I want to be on Broadway, or I want to, you know, dance for... Okay.
No.
So what was the game plan? Do we have one, or were you just talking about
the same program? We didn't really have one. And I would encourage you to have one. I also moved there with like $500 legit in my pocket, and was like, so the first year was a bit of a struggle because I didn't have necessarily a plan. I worked. I'm a workhorse. I only know if I want to get something to just work harder at it. That's not necessarily the most effective way to get to point A. From point A to point B, I don't think, at this stage of my life. But then when I was 21, I was like, oh, I need to live here. I need to pay my bills. I need to also go for this dance life. And so I have to live this double life. So I had literally like five jobs. I think when we lived together, I had like five jobs. I was working at a restaurant, at Kaplan for a learning center tutoring, and at Broadway Dance Center, you had to do work, work study hours. I was a rat in a wheel, right? So I feel like if I had more of a clear plan, then I would have been able to funnel, perhaps. I mean, everything is 2020, right? Well,
right.
This 2020 is not,
unfortunately,
is not what we're looking for. But in hindsight, I think that if I had more of a plan, I may have been able to get to my goal quicker. I have seen, and I envied those who are doing like the internship at an international level, where there was, you know, international students coming in, their visa was very short. So they had to get X, Y, and Z done before their work visa or training visa was over. I didn't have that deadline. So I feel like there was times where I was fluttering and I wasn't sure which direction, or I was losing steam, or I was putting more work into just surviving in the city. Right. So for those who are making that leap in any genre or any, you know, industry, I think mapping out your 5-year plan and then, scaling it back. You know, I always do not always, but I started doing a 1-3-5 goal plan. And this started when I was in China quickly. I had a contract that I was like 7 months, and we were in Macau, which is basically the Vegas of Asia. And our contract was ending, and we had five members of our cast, and some were traveling, some were moving back to New York. I was not moving back. And so I really wanted to move to Hong Kong, which is like the New York of Asia. And I had to figure out a plan. So I had a 1-month plan, a 3-month plan, and a 5-month plan. And then I was able to kind of figure out from there, okay, I need an apartment. mind. Number one, I need work for the first month. So I was able to build on that. And so now I do that in months and I do that in years. And that seems to work for me. But every plan, every person is different as far as their goal setting. But I do think just having like this hope and dream, like maybe I watched Flashdance too much or whatever it was, but like, I was like, I'm gonna move to New York City. But I had no real agenda besides getting more training. But
That's a good agenda.
Yeah, I'm a little bit stubborn too though. So I feel like when I'm fixed on something, then I think that's the only way. So I'd also encourage people, not that I'm like the oracle and know all the things, but just from my experience, like I feel like having a plan, but being open to other things that may come into your way. I mean, I think that's how I fell into fitness, honestly. And then I was able to open up the spectrum of like what that could mean for me.
Sure. Yeah. So how did you kind of fall into, if you will, the fitness industry?
So I had an agent in New York and LA, MSA. And so like any other gig, they called me and said, hey, can you be here at this time? Wear something like this, right? And so I was like, yeah, sure. And I thought it was like a Jane Fonda fitness video. Who knows? So I had like a banana in the morning. I wore a cute like half top and was ready to live my life. And I get there and then insanity didn't like exist. So we go and do this workout and I remember it distinctly. Shanti was there and it was like, if they tapped you on the shoulder, you could leave. And there was like 300 people. It was like, it wasn't an open call, but it was like everyone and their mother was coming, you know? And so you did the workout in groups. And if they tapped you on the shoulder, you could leave for the day. If they didn't tap you, then you had to stay for the next round. And I'm like smiling through this, but I'm like, oh man, I did not eat enough today because I thought this was going to be cute and like a step touch, maybe like, I don't know, a Jane Fonda situation. It was not. It was hardcore. And so I was not getting tapped. And then finally they're like, okay, next group. So I made it to the next round. I went to the bathroom to throw up and came back, had a seat, wiped my face. And then there was another round. And then there was another round. And I was like, well, okay then. So I just suffered through it. And then at the end of that very long day, they split the group up into two casts and they said, there's a few rehearsals over the next couple weeks. And so they gave you a schedule or an email. I don't know what it was. And then we met for like rehearsals with your cast. But the thing is, they were also making cuts during those rehearsals. So every day you would come in and somebody else would be gone. And you were like, oh, I thought I made it. I thought like I got the job.
Right.
So I think there was maybe a week of that. And I remember calling my mom every day being like, I can't do this. I don't think. Like, what do I eat? Like, I I'm tired. Like, this man is crazy.
He is crazy. He scares me. I've done that.
He's
insanity mess before.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But he's great.
He is crazy, but in the best way. Like, he's just, so anyways, I made it. And then we didn't have a lot of rehearsals and he's very much like, I want it to be raw. I want it to be authentic. And so we get on set and he's like, we're going to film it all the way through. Oh, funny story. I'll give you a little funny story if you have a second.
We have all the time in the world.
So I don't know if, you know, I don't even know which video this is, but there's a moment, I think it's like the first Insanity video and we're in a huddle and now we're at this gym at a college in the Bronx and there's lights, there's cameras, whatever. He's like, we're shooting it all the way through. There's, I don't know, no bathrooms. Fine. We get in this huddle. He's like, all right, guys, pumping us up, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, cut. And he looks at me. He's like, Adri, you have a booger in your nose. So the entire set had to stop. We didn't have it. He had to like give me a towel. I was like, good looking out. You know, like, you're my boy. Thanks a lot. I don't want to do this whole video with a booger hanging out of my nose. But it was like so embarrassing because it was like the entire, you know, crew, cast, everyone's like, oh, damn it. We were just in it. We were in it and you ruined it. So then anyways, and then there's plenty of times in that video I go to the side and I like spit because I was either going to spit or throw up, right? But he said, do not stop, you know, be as raw and authentic as you can be. So I took that literally. Like, I was like, whatever, if I have to spit, the camera's not going to follow me. They're going to be on him, right?
Right,
so
right.
They followed me. So that's in there. What else? I swear. I'm like, he's like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I feel like shit. But again, again, in my mind, I was like, okay, the director, Andrea, is just going to cut this out. If she doesn't want it, right? Nope, that's in there. My mom's like, could you really do anything that's like a little classier? Come on, get your life together.
Get it together, Adri.
Get it together, girl. So yeah, that happened. But other than that, it was an amazing experience. Like, he is just, you trust him. You trust him through the screen, and you trust him when you're working with him. And that energy is contagious, and he really brings out the best in people. And so that's what I mean, from there, that's where sort of my fitness journey launched from. And that's the training I got. And it was just such a privilege to have such a wonderful breath of fresh air and wealth of knowledge, like just pour into us as a cast and see the results as well. And that's what I hope to bring to my clients as well, is just that energy, that that trust, that commitment, and that you know, sort of like my cheerleading days where I'm sort of just your biggest cheerleader, whether that's like a 10-minute workout, a full workout. I'm not necessarily at this point, and I think quarantine has really been teaching me this as well. I'm focused with my community on a movement practice, a movement, some sort of movement capacity every day, but that might not look like what it looked like BC before COVID, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it is different.
Sometimes I can only get in 15 minutes because I have two humans that, you know, can't necessarily cook dinner or wipe their own, but I wipe my own ass. You know, like, they're not all there yet. You know what I'm saying?
You guys, you have to follow her on Instagram. I've shared this, her, all of her contact information. You have to follow her on Instagram, number one, for obviously the Cray fitness of it all, but for number two, the content.
My
with
personal,
your kids,
yeah.
your kids are, they're adorable. Number one, they look exactly like
Thank
the
you.
Both of you. They're like the craziest blend of both of you.
Yeah.
But also, like, the way that you caption them sometimes, I'm just like, oh my God, this girl has lost her mind. But it's so funny. It like gives me
because
life.
Because it's real. I bless and honor those. Honestly, these stay-at-home parents, moms, dads, whoever you are, like, and when you choose to do this, you are a different breed of human. And I love you for it. And the society needs you. However, I'm not one of those people, and I love them to piece it. Like, I will do anything for these humans. However, like, they are crazy. And if you're going to go on Instagram or social media and pretend that everything is kittens and rainbows, I have got to tell you, you are on something that I do not have in my coffee. And if you could give me the address of where to get it, that's fine. But I just want to be, as real as my experiences. And maybe everyone else is like just straight up chilling. But I literally went to a reunion a year or two ago. And they were like questioning whether like I really liked my kids or not. I'm like, if I have to explain this to you, I like, we can't be friends. But like, I'm just, if you can't see the humor in life or in the ridiculousness that is like little people, then we gotta cut ties. But we were all there.
We gotta cut ties.
Honestly, so they funny. Are small versions of me. So like, I saw a meme. These memes during quarantine, man, are giving me all the life. But it was something like, if you have to like teach your traits out of your kids, that's the hardest part of parenting. And I cannot agree more. Like, the things that drive me nuts are me. Like, they are my qualities. I just don't have to deal with myself. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't have to. Yeah, yeah. I don't have to talk. But you're like
looking at these kids. You're like, I am so disappointed in myself.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, you know what? I am not going to put you in timeout. I'm going to put myself in timeout because where'd you
I'm grounded.
Yeah, you know what? Oh, wouldn't that be a blessing? Anyways.
Wouldn't it be? So, okay. So then now that we're still, you know, though, you know, the world is wanting so badly to open back up, we're going to take it real slow. What is your typical week look like now? Like, or your day or whatever, like, what is the strategy? Because you have all of these things to juggle.
So it is a bit difficult because the strategy has to keep changing. And I myself am not very good at change. Like, even though if you looked at my life, you'd be like, that's not true, because you have so many experiences that have made you change and morph. But like, it's still hard for me. It's something that I always have to like force myself into, I think. And so now with this climate where kids don't know if they're going to school or not, different in school districts are everything is just so up in the air. And our family schedule is very much up in the air with my husband's job as well. And so I've become the full-time caretaker, and we used to rely on family a little bit more, which is why we moved to New Hampshire from DC, outside of DC. That's where we were after I came back from China. And the idea was to have family around to help support my goals, my husband's goals, and the family as well, and the kids as well. And I luckily have a very supportive husband, but his work calls him out a lot as well. So my week to week is very different depending on what the COVID restrictions are. But sure. I have kind of committed to virtual training with sprinkled in outdoor workouts and one-on-one sessions and Zooms. So those are sprinkled in throughout the week. So that may look different week to week. I do pour into my community as far as the virtual classroom on our YouTube channel. And then we have a private Facebook group where we do weekly challenges and then check-ins. And then I have some outdoor classes that I do 2 to 3 times a month, if possible.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is, I would love to do more and more consistently do our live classes because, you know, face-to-face, but again, a lot of people are not necessarily comfortable with that yet, and or my schedule doesn't facilitate that at the moment. So we just have to work with what we have and start where we are. So that's something I do struggle with because I do want to keep giving to my community in every possible way. In time, that will happen a little bit more. But I think that, we definitely have over 50, if not more, workouts ranging from 5-minute mini series to 55-minute hour-long workouts on our virtual classroom, all free on YouTube. And then we have a subscription-based program rolling out as well, because there are people that I trained in Virginia that are looking for a little bit more and a little bit more consistency with me, and so I'm happy to provide that in New Hampshire and Massachusetts, where I'm from. So it's actually, if you can look at it as an opportunity to like reset your business and rethink it, I think it's a great chance to say, I didn't think of this, you know. There's a lot of dance studios that I am now working with to do strength and conditioning for dancers, because though they may not be able to do a full competition season or get into class like they would, they can still come back stronger and work on their technique, work on their strength, and it's a beautiful opportunity for me to marry my dance training and my fitness training all in one, and then bring that in virtual. I've done it virtually and also in person. So that's been sort of an aha moment during this quarantine. Oh, look, like I feel for these dancers. I remember being a senior and my recital being the biggest deal, you know, and these dancers are like moving to college, or even if you're not at that stage and you're just looking for more, but you want to continue your technique. I strongly encourage you to take advantage of all these online opportunities. And strength and conditioning is one of them. It's not necessarily choreography, although you can think of the sequences in this series as choreography, right? And I think as dancers, we work a little bit differently. As a judge for dance competitions, both regionally and nationally, like I know specifically like what I always say, and it's a lot. It has a lot to do with alignment and proper training and core stability and what that feels like and what that looks like. So it's a beautiful opportunity for me to take that information. And then hopefully when I see you on the stage as a judge, I can see that hard work. And this is a chance to do that instead of sulking about why you can't go into the studio or maybe not as often.
Right.
So that's been great. Yeah.
I think that, you know, what you're saying is so true, because I think for a lot of people, quarantine has, because it's been such a moment of pause and so many things have been canceled and, you know, there's been a lot of disappointment. It's hard for people to see what the silver linings of situations can be. And I think you nailed it with like, don't look at it as necessarily like, oh, woe is me, I can't get into the studio. Like, what can you do to make it better and kind of shift and, you know, self-discover and all of that? Like, people have to change directions and kind of just make it work, if you will, which is kind of like, sounds a little bit flippant, but like, you what are you going to do to make it work?
Yeah.
Like, what would you say to someone about like, where do you even begin to find resources or getting over the fear of that? Or if they have to kind of like recreate themselves, if you will?
Well, I mean, going back to what you originally said, I think that, I mean, this is like jazz 101, right? Like pivot.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. Just pivot, like change direction, change focus. And it doesn't have to mean that you are taking your idea, your business, your dream, whatever, and putting it aside. You are readjusting, seeing the opportunity and going from there. Because those are the open doors. You know, don't focus on the ones that are closed. And I think that's what, as a younger dancer in New York, you know, going through the hustle and the struggle and the working all the time and trying to just audition all the time. Sometimes I personally would only focus on some closed doors or just the door I wanted to be open, instead of looking side to side and realizing there's other windows open, right? So maybe it looks differently, but it's a beautiful opportunity. It's a different industry, I will say, like as a dancer and a performer. I mean, before COVID, life was online anyway. So I think the younger generation, y'all know, like y'all want to be YouTube famous. But I think there is great resources out there. I want you to focus on training, right? Like get your basics and then build on those basics and fundamentals, because you can do all the tricks you want in the world. But there was a choreographer, Brian Thomas, I remember, BT. He said something to me, I forget. And I was like, well, I'm more of a contemporary dancer. He's like, no, you're not. You're a dancer. So you can do any style. Be that dancer that is so versatile, or the performer that is so versatile that you can do any style. And that doesn't just go for dance. Like right now with my business, like I'm a one show, operation over here.
So you're like a one-man circus.
Right. Exactly. I really feel like I'm like jumping through fiery hoops all day.
But girl, I feel that. Do you feel like you're always the IT department? Because I feel like I'm always the IT department.
Yes. And like the marketing.
Bless the IT department, by the way. Like just straight. Bless.
But I want to call them up and like yell at them, but that is me. I'm just yelling at myself, you know, like I can't do this with throwing my computer.
The marketing. How much time do you think that you spend on things like your social media or
too many minutes of my life? Although I actually enjoy that. Honestly, I have fun with like apps and we can go over that. But like, I do most of my stuff off of my phone, to be quite honest, because I'm always on the go, but I enjoy that. And I've actually done it for other studios as well, fitness and dance studios. Oh, nice. And it's just like a cool opportunity. I think we're very visual as dancers or performers. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of see an eye for something. That's why I think a lot of dancers can be, transition to photographers or some other creative outlet. And I think that has just been a happenstance for me. Like I just like marketing, so I can spend too much time on it and like for no good reason, because I like to play around, right?
Because you're just like trying to make it exactly symmetrical. Oh my God. And perfect.
The
amount of hours.
Yeah. I have to that's a struggle for me too, but like I'm a perfectionist, which means that I do nothing perfect, right? But I just want everything, like, so that fear we were talking about earlier is for me, like I have to have things perfect, which is not life. And it's like I've started to let that go, where it is just what it is, right? Like life is not, it's messy. It's unpredictable. It is not going to be glossed over. So like, and that's definitely not me, you know, like I'm not even, I'm not trying to pretend I'm perfect, but like in my work, I like sometimes feel stagnant because of that fear of perfection. And like, that is just going to do nothing for you. That doesn't allow you to share the gift you have right now with anyone. And you, for me, I have to remind myself, like, I only have to be one step or a half a step beyond the person I'm helping to help, right? Like, I do not have to be like in this perfect realm to, I just need to have a little bit more to give and share. And so if you look at your business or your craft as something to share with others, like if you hold on to it because you're the fear of perfection, you are not allowing the gift to be shared. And like, how unfortunate for the world, right? So stop it.
Totally.
That's for me.
Okay. So speaking of perfection, and this is definitely like going in down a different road that we could stay on for hours and hours and hours as dancers and as people who work with dancers, do you have a lot of people who come to you with the idea that like physically and like body image has to be perfect? And how do you combat that? Cause that is such, like, for me, that is such a hot button whenever that happens with people. And like, what do you do in that? Tell me all the things.
Well, for me, I mean, my client base is mostly women. And so as women, doesn't matter where you are in your stage of life, whether you're a young woman or a mother or beyond those years, I feel like there's insecurity in your body image. Movement for me personally has always been a mental escape and opportunity to just release tension, right? Get those endorphins flowing. So for me, I really try to focus in on the habit of making time for yourself to move and get whatever tension is building up in your body out of your body, right? So, and that could be in a high intensity workout. That could be in a bar class where you're just really focusing on small intrinsic muscles, because that translates to what you do in the rest of your life. So I feel like body image, when it's a younger dancer or a younger woman or male, it's really focusing on what the beauty of your body and the the capacity to which your body can move and really yes. celebrating that. So for me, it's not right. necessarily weight loss. You know, that weight loss yeah. will come with consistency, with proper diet, honestly, with a focus on you and your workouts, right? So if you're putting right. that mind in the muscle, if you are eating well, and if you are showing up in the way your trainer has told you to, then you will get there. Don't you worry. And everybody has their favorite style of workout, and you need to find something that you are not going to quit on. So that might not be right. with the styles I provide. That might be something else that could be running or cycling or what have you, but there's so many mm-hmm. Or dancing, you know? So for me, it's really trying to find like just even a glimmer of hope in that person that they can find the confidence and the time to celebrate what they can do. And even if that's yeah. like a micro bend of a push-up, like against a wall. So we are modifying.
That's where I am options. Right now.
You do it though, because once you do 10, you can do 12. And then you can slowly move up. And then that confidence comes from the inside. It all comes from that inside, right? So the inner yeah. strength, the inner beast, we all have it. Maybe it's buried in, you know, gold. Goldfish and breast milk, or maybe like it's, you know, bad experiences in your personal family, whatever it is. It's like, but it's there. Like we came to this earth with that fire. So we just have to find the fire, and your movement, regardless of what that looks like, should be honing in on finding that fire from within. And that will get you to where you need to go next.
Well, I am certainly motivated to go do Woo-hoo! Something now. Thank you for that. That was yeah. going to be my last question, but you already sort of like wrapped that up in a cute little box with a bow. But like, I'm sure that you do have a lot of people that come to you that are like, how, you know, especially now, like I just, there are so many people, unfortunately, that just are feeling so defeated.
Yes.
And so continuously having to be a cheerleader for them and pump them up. And, you know, it's probably, it can be exhausting for you. I know it's been exhausting for me. It's been exhausting for everyone. Like everyone is just kind of, it's almost like for some people, hope is a little bit lost. And I think that, you know, a person like you just gives somebody so much more hope and motivation. But how do you do that every single day without just being like, I gotta take a nap?
I don't.
Okay.
I mean, to my clients and to my community, I try to give as much as I can. But you have to show up where you are and not judge, right? And that's myself included. Right. Like, again, sometimes I will only be able to squeeze out a 10-minute workout, but at least that was 10 minutes where I pulled myself away from my family. And I said, this time is for me. You know, yeah. It might look like a really like very low impact, low intensity, but I got some stuff out, right? And so I mm-hmm. just encourage people to show up. It doesn't matter yet. Okay. Especially yeah. during these sort of unprecedented, don't want to say that, but
that I know, you know right? What I mean? But it's like, yeah. I wonder what precedent it is.
I know. These uncharted waters. We don't know what's mm-hmm. coming. We've never been here. Some days are going to look really gloom and doom, and others are going to feel great. But what you need to do, or I need to do, is to create the habits to push us through, right? So rely on your habits right now. If you don't have those habits, start creating them. There's no other opportunity than today to start. So start with something. Start with a walk around your neighborhood, around your house, around your apartment, whatever mm-hmm. it is. Like, do something that allows you to realize you are in control of at least your movement. You are going to celebrate your body throughout, and you will see results in time. Because what is that saying? Like, if you a bad workout is better than sitting on the couch or whatever it is.
Right.
I'm not
right.
looking yeah. for you to have perfection. And for me, honestly, I am a mom of two young kids. I am pouring into them, and they have their own issues with quarantine and not not seeing their friends and doing that. And so it's like you are spent. Your energy is spent. Like, is there an opportunity to get up 20 minutes early, to have a moment of stillness? I could tell you for myself that changes the game. It doesn't always happen, but I am much calmer. I feel centered and I feel like myself, right?
Right, I
wear a lot of hats, but like, I can't be just mom all the time. I have to tap into the Adri well and fill that up. And if I can fill that up, then I can give that to others. So I just encourage other people, whether you live alone, whether you have a family of 72, like live in a shoe, whatever it is, like you, there's a second where you can find that appreciates you. And again, that looks different for everyone, but I encourage you to keep moving every single day, keep showing up, the results will come, and then be specific. Once you get those habits of spending 10 minutes, then you increase that time to 15 minutes. Then you go for a 30-minute workout, and then you get specific on what your goals are and target those goals. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
You're amazing. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for being in my life. You're the
greatest. Oh my gosh. What a great thing Broadway Dance Center did by Brian. Even in those dusty old studios that used to be Broadway Dance Center.
Oh my God. We were still on 57th Street. Holy moly.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I haven't even been to the new Broadway Dance Center yet. Like, of course, you know, I'm probably not going to be running up to New York anytime real soon, but I want to get back there and see it and, you know, just be in the city. I need the energy of the city back in my life.
I know, me too. I mean, sadly, the city has changed, and that's what we have to like take a deep breath for and for everyone. And I think support your local businesses, support people who pour into you or artists. I will definitely say, like, the artist community has so much to offer and a lot, and you will probably know this more than I, but like, you know, like the theme parks and all of these spaces where live theater is such a important part of the atmosphere, the streetmosphere, you know, it's like pour into those people. They need it, you know, and the arts
totally
need it.
Do.
That's
it's,
why we're
it's so sad. Yeah. It's super scary out there in the world right now, but it's going to be okay.
It's
going to
be, all
gonna
right.
be fine. Keep Everybody
moving.
Just take a deep breath. Just settle down.
Yes.
Work on your fitness, get it right, get it tight, and it's going to be fine.
That's right. That's right.
Fine. So if you all out there listening want to get in touch with Adriana, which you should want to get in touch with Adriana, which by the way, I announced you as Adriana Falcon, but do you go by Grillo now?
No, not for work.
Your married name. Okay. I was just like, after I said that, I was like, wait a minute. Did I
split it myself in girl? Two. No, I split myself in two. It legally I'm Grillo, but that's when I'm a parent. And then when I'm
right.
working,
okay, that's parent Adriana.
Yeah. I'm like Beyonce. My Adriana Falcon is Shasta, whatever it is. That's my maiden name.
Oh my gosh,
Sasha
Pierce.
That's it. Sasha Pierce. That's my maiden
name. So if you want to get in touch with Sasha Pierce,
yes.
Her website is www.theclassyoucrave.com. And you can find out all of the information also on Instagram at the Class You Crave, Crave Fitness on Facebook. I will share all of this on our social media, obviously, so you can get in touch with her, because that's the other, I feel like, great thing about, you know, this time that we're in, is that you probably are able to affect and work with and mentor people that you wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity to, because, you know, they could be across the country and not know, you know, like, oh,
100%.
Now I can do this. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been so great.
Take her class, because it will make you feel some kind of way. And it's usually a good kind of way, but and sometimes it's a kind of way that you're like, oh, but it's good. It's still good.
Yes. Yes. There's
and
tons
you're just
of
so motivating
our virtual
wonderful.
Classroom. Thank you.
I love you. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here, everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. Come back every week. Can you just come back every week?
Every week. Here we are.
All right, everybody, we will be back next week. Same time, same place. Thank you so much. Have an awesome day.